It's so good for us to be together, to be in the book of Hebrews this time.
Amen.
And last night, it was so wonderful to see that Christ, He is our captain of our salvation. Amen. And He is also our big elder brother. Amen. Who is sanctifying us. And today, we like to see more concerning Christ, our high priest, to help us all to enter into glory.
Amen.
Amen. So here in Hebrews chapter 4, the verses that we just prayed over, it tells us very clearly, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Praise the Lord. Our Christ, He not only died and resurrected, He also pass through the heavens.
Amen.
Amen. Notice it's plural. It's not just one heaven, it's heavens. He ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. This is marvelous what the Lord has done for us. We see this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 that we read yesterday. Sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
Amen. This is really marvelous what the Lord is doing. And we see also this in Hebrews that He destroyed death. He destroyed the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. Amen. The devil did his best to hold Christ from ascending to the heavens. But praise the Lord, Christ overcame him.
Amen.
And then He says He destroyed him. Right? Destroying means it's not just He barely made it. Destroy means it's a total, complete victory. Right?
Amen.
In basketball, if you beat someone 100-0, then that's destroyed. I think in soccer, it's like 10-0. The devil had no chance.
Right.
He tried.
Absolutely.
But Christ destroyed him who had the power of death.
Amen.
Oh, we need to experience this Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Also in Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Amen.
The principalities and powers also try to hold Christ down, but He disarmed them.
Amen.
And He made them a public spectacle. This is pretty amazing.
Amen.
Yeah, this is. We need to see this Christ.
Amen.
How triumphant, how victorious He is.
Amen.
This is our high priest.
Amen.
Amen. And also in Acts 2:24, it says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it.
Amen.
This is our marvelous Christ. He is now sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
Now, in our concept in the past, when the Lord ascended to the heavens and He sat down, then it's done. And then He will just sit back and relax. Like He said, put your feet on the table. Actually not. Right? Mm-hmm. His work on the earth is finished.
Mm-hmm.
But His heavenly ministry to us has just started.
Mm-hmm.
He is now in His office. The throne is His office. Right? He is now executing.
Amen.
To help us, to help the church, to be also triumphant.
Amen.
That we can also enter into glory with Him.
Amen.
And that is a big job.
Amen.
And as it was shared, it has taken the Lord 2,000 years. He is very busy there, working. Even now, He is working.
Amen.
Very hard. Ministering from the heavenlies so that we would all rise up.
Amen. Amen.
And build up the heavenly tabernacle.
Amen.
Build up the heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
The unshakable kingdom.
Amen.
These days, some of the parents will bring their children to Florida to watch the space shuttle launch. It's quite impressive. I personally have never seen it, but I've seen it on TV. When the space shuttle takes off, it requires a lot of power. But compared to Christ, where a space shuttle goes is really not that far. Yeah, because Christ ascended to the heavens. And that we need to see. Right? That's why here it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Our high priest is very high. It's marvelous. Right? And we know that in the book of Acts, some of the disciples were standing there while the Lord was talking to them, and then the Lord ascended. And the disciples were looking, whoa. And then some angels who are helpers, ministering, you, men of Galilee, why are you looking? The same way that this Christ has ascended, he will also come back. So now you all need to go get ready. So they got busy. They went to the room to pray. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And these men, just a few years ago, they were fishermen. They were fishing for a living. After the Lord helped them for 3.5 years, they became so bold and so strong. And they were able to testify and speak for Christ. Peter and the 11 stood up. They were completely changed. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the words came out of their mouth, it says, it cut to the hearts of the people. This is the demonstration of what the power of the ascended Christ can do to us. It can change us. Oh, we all need to be changed. We can't stay the same. We have to really go on with the Lord for the fulfillment of his purpose. Yeah. If the Lord can pass through the heavens and change all these men, he surely can solve all the problems that we have. All of our problems are actually just little problems compared to God's great, wonderful plan. That's why the hymn says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We need to, all of our problems will just kind of disappear and just so insignificant compared to what the Lord wants to do.
Amen.
We need to have such a faith. And then this Christ, he also appeared at the presence of God for us. For us. This is really wonderful. This is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. It says, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Praise the Lord. This is really marvelous what the Lord is doing for us today. Yeah. This is why he wants to bring us into glory. This is why he ascended to the heavens. You know, these days, to win a case in the court before a judge, you need to have the best representation. And unfortunately, only those who are very wealthy and influential can afford these representations. But praise the Lord, we have the best attorney. We have a great high priest. Yes, he is higher than the heavens. But praise the Lord, he is not too high for us. Right? He is appearing in the presence of God for us. Oh, this is marvelous what our high priest is doing. In Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, it says, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." Praise the Lord. Yeah. Our high priest, firstly, he was tempted as a man. The first Adam failed the temptation. Right? But Christ, as the second man, he was victorious. And therefore, he is the last Adam. Because after that, there should be no more Adam. He is the last Adam. He overcame Satan, and from bondage he's free. Amen. Like the song we sang last night, he is a man in the glory. He overcame temptation as a man. As God, of course, he is perfect. But as a man, he went through everything that we are going through. And he overcame all the temptation. In Luke chapter 4, the devil tried to tempt him, saying, in verse 3, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Notice the devil says, "If you are the Son of God." And the Lord answers, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." He overcame as a man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 to 49, I'll read these verses to you. It says, "The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, capital M, is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." In the book of Hebrews, we see this contrast between what is earthly and what is heavenly. And today, we need to bear the image of this heavenly man. Amen. He is the man in the glory. And he is also not only tempted, he is without sin. Hebrews 10:23 tells us, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Only the sinless one can save us, the sinners. And our Christ, as the heavenly high priest, he passed through every test. And he did not sin. This is wonderful. So in Romans 8, chapter 3, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." Yeah. So Christ came to fulfill the law. And what the law could not do, God did by sending his own Son. So today, our Christ, as our heavenly high priest, he is both merciful and faithful. Right? He is merciful to us. At the same time, he is faithful to God. Oh, this is very, very important, as we have seen. In our serving of the Lord, we need to be faithful to God. Unfortunately, these days, so many people have the fear of men. We need to be faithful to God. This is really an expression of the Lord's wonderful humanity. And we, as brothers who are serving, are very much learning this lesson. Because so many times, we don't show much mercy to others. And at the same time, we are unfaithful to God. It's a shame. The Lord needs to change us. Today, He is our merciful and faithful High Priest. And because of this, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace in time of need. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Amen. Look at how many chances God gave to the children of Israel. They were so stubborn. Repeatedly speaking to them through the prophets, warning them. And today, Christ, as our High Priest, is speaking to us to come forward to Him and not to shrink back. The throne of grace is really important. Yeah. And it's signified by the propitiation cover, which is the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And this is in Exodus chapter 25. If we don't understand the Old Testament pattern, how do we appreciate what a throne of grace really means? It's really important that we need to learn to understand the pattern, as we share. It's really a pattern of the heavenly reality today for us to experience. And we need to come to the throne of grace. God's throne today is full of grace and mercy. Amen. But the key is, we need to obtain it. Right? It says to obtain mercy and to find grace. Yes, mercy and grace is there. But we can't just be looking at it from afar. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace and get the mercy. Right? Obtain it and find grace. It's there for all those who are willing to come to Him. And may the Lord help us to come to Him. Notice the word did not just say, come to the throne of grace. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. We need to apply this verse in our experience. If we are to be co-kings with Christ, we need to get used to coming to the throne of grace and really experience the Lord in a marvelous way. In chapter 5, verses 5 to 11, continues to show us who this wonderful High Priest is. Verse 5 says, "So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become High Priest, but it was He who said to Him, 'You are My Son. Today I have begotten you.'" Amen. And this is quotation from Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are My Son. Today I have begotten you.'" And Hebrews 5:6 goes on to say, "As He also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And this, again, is a quotation from Psalm 110, verse 4. It says, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The entire scripture, as we have seen, is very consistent. What was prophesied in Psalms is now fulfilled by Christ. Only those who are foolish and slow of heart will say, we don't need Psalms. That's not my words. That's what the Lord said. We need to really understand the whole scripture. Because it really helps us to know who this wonderful Christ is. And he was begotten through resurrection from the dead. And as we shared this last night, as God, he is already the Son of God. He doesn't need to be begotten. But he was begotten as a man. And he is the firstborn from the dead. And because he is the firstborn, then who are we? We are the many-born, right? We are his many brothers, so that the Lord can bring us all into glory. I enjoy very much the verse in Romans 1, verse 4 says, he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us to be in resurrection. Through all of our difficulties, may we really experience the resurrection power of the Lord. Amen. And he also learned obedience. Verse 8 says, chapter 5, Hebrews, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. This is really marvelous what our Christ did. First of all, he did not glorify himself to be a priest. You know, today we see many presidential candidates. They're fighting with one another to glorify themselves, to elevate themselves, to make themselves electable. Our Christ didn't self-appoint himself to be the high priest. But instead, as we see in Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We have such a wonderful high priest. Amen. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Right? So if Christ had to learn obedience, then we also must learn obedience, because he is our elder brother, right? Our elder brother learned obedience. We are the little brothers. We also have to go through the same process. You know, we send our children to school to learn, right? But many times when it comes to spiritual things, we just relax. Oh, I just come and hear a message on Sunday and go home. Well, we cannot go on like that. Right? May the Lord help us to learn, right? To make progress, to really go on with the Lord. We need to learn from the Holy Spirit. And as we have seen, he is our best teacher. We have the anointing who teaches us all things. And this learning doesn't actually take place here as you are taking notes. I have no problem taking notes. But the actual learning will take place in our daily living. When no one is around us, right? That's when we have to learn obedience. When we are driving, when we are talking to people, we need to learn obedience. So many opportunities the Lord will give us so that we would learn. And then our high priest, Hebrews 5:9 says, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Amen. So, as God, Christ is perfect. But as a man, it says, having been perfect. So, Christ was made perfect. And as we have seen in the Lord's life on the earth for 33 and a half years, repeatedly he was tested, he was tempted, he was tried, he was betrayed, and he was even forsaken by God. And he was made perfect. Perfect is the word that's used many times here in the book of Hebrews. Right? There's an old saying that says, practice makes perfect. As men, we are surely not born perfect. Right? But by the Lord's mercy, we can be made perfect. This, the book of Hebrews tells us so. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principle of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We need to go on to perfection. Yes. And Hebrews 12:23 at the end says, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Yes, it is possible for us to be made perfect. You know, Paul says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. He says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And notice he says, every man, right? Not just the people on the front row, but every man. This is really important. We, in our church life, we need to help one another to perfect the saints, to go on, to be perfected. Yeah. So, these days, our prayer is, Lord, please perfect us. Right? Perfect us, that we may all reach the goal. Yeah. Like one of the hymns that we have, it says, we aim to reach perfection. Let our Father's nature fill our every part. Today, we need to aim for perfection. Amen. So the section concludes with verse 10 says, call by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. And then there is a little warning at the end, which our brother will cover more, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. May the Lord grant us a proper hearing, that we could really understand what the Lord is trying to show us. Yes, we have much to say, and tomorrow morning we will share more concerning matter of Melchizedek. But today, may the Lord really impress upon us that we do have such a wonderful high priest who has passed through the heavens, and he wants to bring us all into glory. May the Lord perfect us and perfect all the churches. Amen. Amen.
I really appreciate that the Lord is not just the captain of our salvation, leading us to glory, but he is also the great high priest, helping us to reach glory. That's wonderful. As a captain, he made it, taking the lead, maybe giving the orders as a captain. But we're so weak, we have so many difficulties, problems, weaknesses. And it's wonderful to know that the Lord is the great, our great high priest, who has experienced everything, right? Tempted in every way.
Yes.
And if you read chapter 5, I mean, it says here, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear.
Amen.
That means the Lord went through a lot of tough times.
Yes.
Otherwise, why would he be offering up prayer and supplication with vehement cries? Yeah. I mean, he cried out really loud to the Father because he was in probably in a very difficult situation. But praise the Lord, I'm very touched by the fact that he's not just a captain, he's also a high priest.
Yes.
He can understand our situation,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
And we should boldly come to him,
amen,
that we may obtain mercy. That means the Lord is merciful.
Yeah.
Even though we fail again and again, if we come to him, he is always merciful.
Yes.
If we repent and turn to him and we don't give up, he is merciful.
Yeah.
He'll always take us back.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he will give us grace.
Yeah.
Supplies us with much grace to press on to go.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. He is also our great high priest.
Amen.
Who can really sympathize with us.
Yes.
I'm glad he's not just a captain leading us. And we're there unable to keep up with him. Because he's the eldest brother, right? He's strong. And we have so many problems and weaknesses. But he can sympathize with us. This
Amen.
Is so precious that this great high priest sympathizes with us.
Amen.
Merciful.
Amen.
And supplies us with grace. As Paul said, his grace is sufficient for me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think I was just sharing a little bit. Remember what Paul said. This is the main point that he's coming to, right? That we have such a great high priest. May the Lord really open our eyes to have such a realization, because many times we don't know what we have. And perhaps we do know a lot of things, but we don't know the main thing. You know, you can know so many things, but you missed the main point, missed the focus. So, as our brother shared, and we have been talking about this too, in these few days, the Lord today, being the great high priest, and being the King of Kings, sitting on the throne, he has a lot of wonderful things to do, to accomplish, which perhaps is more difficult than his death on the cross. We may not realize this, because the death on the cross, and at least his whole human life on this earth, is just 33 and a half years. And the main suffering, the main one, I mean, is really tough, was the last 3.5 years of his ministry. And of course, the toughest was the crucifixion. And he suffered so much, but the time was very short. And at the end, he says, "It is done." Wow, he must be really happy. That it was really wonderful. It is done. And he accomplished that wonderful redemption. And he became that author of great salvation. And so the eternal salvation, that was accomplished on the cross. Then he ascended. And today his work is much more difficult. To accomplish redemption and salvation for the forgiveness of your sins, nobody could help him. So only he himself went up to the cross. But now to apply that to your daily living through the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you tell me, what is your experience? Easy? Is it easy to change your son? Where is Timo today? The children's meeting. Well, what about change you? Very difficult, right? How many years now? Oh, over 60-some years, right? Perfected?
No.
Oh. How much perfection?
Hard to say.
Hard to say. Hard to say. And how many times do we grieve him?
Work against him
even. And opposed him. And disobeyed him. And the Lord, as the great high priest, will not force you. Of course, he sympathizes with you. And he is well able to sympathize, not because he is full of sympathy, but because he himself went through as a man. And you have to appreciate our Lord Jesus becoming a man. Amen. And now, reading through all these, I hope that we will all appreciate why the Lord Jesus has to become a man just like you.
Amen.
We have to appreciate that. Right? I've never been a dog. So I cannot sympathize with a dog. I don't even understand why the dog loves bones. Right? Do you understand why he loves bones? I don't. You and I, we've never been a dog. So we don't understand a lot concerning all these animals because we cannot even communicate with them, right? We cannot. So how can God, you think, oh, God must be all-knowing, you know? Yeah, you may know everything, but you'll have no sympathy. How come you don't know? Right? Well, I'm sorry, you're God, I'm a man. But you cannot say that to the Lord Jesus. You cannot tell the Lord, "Lord, of course you don't understand me." The Lord says, "And why not?" Right, Kyle? He became a man just like you, just like me, just like every one of us. And as a man, he went through. Don't say the Lord didn't know and he didn't understand. Oh, nobody understands me. Well, at least there is one who understands you. It is you who don't understand him. It's not the other way around. He understands our every situation. He really did. And if you want to know how much suffering he went through and what chapter 5 verse 7 is saying, he offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears. You have to read the Psalms, because the Psalms described all the trials that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. You know why David is a good king? Why? Because David went through so much sufferings as well. Right. So here, to be a great high priest, you need much qualification. And the Lord has this qualification, except he was very victorious. He overcame, not without going through sufferings. And the wonderful thing there is that yet without sin. He went through every temptation, any possible temptation you can think of. Suppose somebody is going to offer you $2 billion. But you bow down before me. Okay. Freddie. $2 billion. How about that? Come on, really? Because he knows I don't have $3 billion. But if I have and lay there, like Bilaam, you will come back the next day. Maybe you say no today, but when you went to bed, oh, wow. Maybe if he adds another billion, he'll be back. But you know, God offered, the Lord was offered the glories of the whole world. You think we could resist such an offer? No one can resist such an offer. No one. Let alone the glory of the whole world. There's a wonderful position of honor and glory about that. You're already very happy. You will grab it. You will even fight for it. But not our Lord Jesus. You think when the Lord Jesus became a man coming to this earth, he didn't know what awaits him? You think the Lord didn't know? The Father didn't tell him? Let's go and accomplish this wonderful redemption. If the Father didn't tell him, the Lord would say, Dad, how come you didn't tell me all these things? No. He knew. He came of his own will, because everything was already written beforehand. The whole scriptures was talking about it. And this high priest to be at that time, before he came, he already knew. And he was appointed already way before the time of Abraham. He was already appointed. And David verified that 1,000 years before Christ came in Psalm 110. I would have told the Father, Father, how about let's exchange place. I'll be the Father and you be the Son. How about that? Which one would you prefer? the Father, we have the same preference. I would tell the Father, since we are both God, right? We are just one God. Why should I be the Son? You be the Father. Well, which one of us would prefer to be the Son? But you know, he learned obedience right from the very start. He was willing to put aside his glory. Are you? We who had actually no glory, we are grabbing for glory. But the Lord, who was God himself, he put aside his glory. I know people today who, we are divinely appointed by God. Are you? You know, the very fact people say that shows that they are not divinely appointed. Because if you are, there is no necessity for you to say that. Even the Lord was God himself. He didn't tell people, don't you know who I am? I'm God. You want me to demonstrate it? You want me to call the heavens to send a thunder and lightning and strike you right now? How about that? Why, I think some of us would do it. Show forth your self. And if you don't believe me, get out of here. Right. Wouldn't you do that? Oh, yeah. We would do this. We are disqualified, fully disqualified. It says here, Christ also did not glorify himself to become high priest.
Yeah, that's right.
But we like to glorify ourselves, although we are nothing. We really are nothing. Don't you know I am an elder? Oh, man, maybe I should print out a golden tag there. A dog tag. I call it a dog tag. Put it there. Elder so and so. One time, many years ago, in 1978, at the end of 1978, I was in a place to try to help clean up some mess. The wife of an elder says, my husband is the elder, and I am the elderess. Wow, I got goosebumps. I got a chill. You haven't ever heard any such thing, right? I don't know why the Lord let me hear such crazy things. I said, oh, my Bible only talk about adulteress, not elderess.
Yeah.
How terrible it is. We, the fallen human being, we're grabbing for power, grabbing for honor, grabbing for glory. We want to elevate ourselves, and we want everybody to listen to us. What can I say? But not our Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother just read to us Philippians chapter 2. He put aside his glory. He emptied himself. Would you like to empty yourself? Pocket. It's empty. Oh, $3. Here, you can have it. $3. You like to empty yourselves, or you like to load yourselves. And our Lord emptied himself. He not only became a man, he became a what? A slave. Lower than a man. And in Psalm 22, he said, I'm not a man, I'm a worm. How much worth is a worm? Freddy, you're going to pay $10 for a worm? 10 cents? Not even 10 cents. Maybe just throw some pennies there and take a worm for your bird at home if you have one. But we are just the exact opposite of this high priest. He was appointed. We are disappointed. We are very often disappointed because nobody appointed us. So you're disappointed. Oh, how come not me? Well, why should it be you? And would you like to be appointed to be a slave? Mercy? No. You want appointment? Okay, let us appoint you to be the slave of all. How about that? I don't think you'll accept that. You won't feel very glorified. Right? No one will. I don't think you'll be glorified with such a position. Oh, Lord. And the Lord went through all kinds of sufferings and was perfected. You know, it's not easy to be perfected. This kind of perfection, it is not easy. To be perfected as a human being, at least, you know, to be an educated person, having a degree in college, it takes how many years? 12 plus 4, 16 years. And you are a college graduate. How about to graduate? And to be perfected like this wonderful heavenly high priest, to be co-king. It is not easy, like our brother just shared, and we can all amen to that. After so many years of our lives, we are not perfected. And young people don't think you're already perfected. There's always one more thing that is lacking. Yeah. You remember that young rich man that came to the Lord and said, well, what should I do to inherit the kingdom? The Lord says, do everything that Moses said. Oh, I've done everything. Wow. He has done everything. Well, then why ask the Lord? And you're already in the kingdom, right? And the Lord said, why do you like one more thing? Actually, he likes many more things. So the Lord says, oh, but one more. Go sell all you have to the poor and give it to the poor and come follow me. He was so sad he couldn't do it because he was so rich. If I only have $3, I can give it to you. It's only three. Do you need $3? But if I have $3 million right there, you think I'll just give it to you? My heart will shrink down. I'll get a heart attack if I lose that $3 million in my pocket. I won't be sleeping 100 days and nights. But we are like this, just exact opposite. That's why we need today such a great high priest. Amen. You know, when we think about high, we're looking at somebody up there, so high. like behind. But here to be high is not there, it is to be the slave of all. The Lord said, the greatest among you should be the servant of all. So the Lord was there not just to help you as a man because of our weakness and weaknesses, but he is helping us in things pertaining to God.
That's right.
Who said God? You did. You did. It's not just to help you get you out of your trouble.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we do. That's all I want. Lord, get me out of this mess. Okay, I got out of this mess, but I'm still not for God. You need help? Just get out of your troubles. Just for yourself? You think God will send a great high priest just to help you, to get you out of your mess? And that's it? Is that the help you want? The help to us is pertaining to the things of God. Because we are here on this earth, put there divinely by God, so that we can fulfill His plan and purpose on this earth. Now, so that you can be nice, wonderful, trouble-free, leaven-free, whatever. And yet you're free to do whatever you like. You're free. No. No, but every high priest is appointed, it says there in the word, to serve the people in things pertaining to God. So if you're not for God, what are you for? For yourself. You're for yourself. So may the Lord.
Amen.
Give us such a deep realization of why we need a great high priest.
Amen.
After so many years in the church life, you and I, we are still so much self-centered. Self-centered, self-conscious, self-elevation, self-glorification, self-satisfaction, selfish. Just for yourself. May the Lord save us.
Amen.
Right. This is the great high priest.
Amen.
And may we realize today that when we come to the throne of grace, it is not just to help you, get you out of your trouble, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right. He's not a troubleshooter. You are the troublemaker, and he's the troubleshooter. No. He is there to help you to restore you back to be for God's purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.